Welcome to Nevada News. Meg's on the broadcast today. He's a former chief of staff to Governor Kenny Gwynn. Mike Hillaby joins us. He's the director of government relations for Kemper Kroll for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Hello, is this D&D Roofing?
Yes, it is. How may I help you?
You did such a great job on my roof. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner.
Oh, can I speak to your supervisor?
Sure.
How may I help you?
I love your work. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner. We're all owners. Well, that's why at D&D we work so hard to keep your home safe and sound.
Oh, no wonder.
D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal. Local, employee-owned, here for you.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Safety is the number one priority for the trucking industry. Over $7 billion a year is spent on technology like this electronic eye that will apply the brakes automatically. But the most important factor for safety is the truck driver. These hardworking men and women who safely move over 70% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you because trucks move America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan on No Holds Barred Political Forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are always pleased to welcome back to the program Mike Hillaby. He's director of government relations for Kemper Kroll and was previously the chief of staff to Governor Gwynn. It's a pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Thanks. Good to be here, Sam.
You know, Governor Gwynn was an exemplification, I believe, of the kind of person that gets into politics without being a politician because he wants to do good, runs in one party or the other, but when he becomes governor, it really all disappears in terms of the political affiliation. Is that how you saw him?
Very much. We had a saying in the office that the best days at work were because Kenny Gwynn was not a politician, and the hardest days at work was because he wasn't a politician. That's not how we thought. He didn't worry about where any particular party was, didn't worry about where the Republican Party was at any given moment. What's the right thing to do? So it was fun. It had its moments because we were advancing his policy initiatives in an inherently political environment. But him thinking about what's the right thing for people, this is why I got into this job, the one and only elected office he ever ran for, ultimately was great.
He also did something which, you know, for me in my history in Nevada goes back to Michael O'Callaghan, was he loved talking to people and he loved talking to the media. We would joke that he would do half an hour on the show and 45 minutes in the hallway. Mm-hmm. And yet, in not with this governor so far yet, but with Governor Sandoval, there was an extremely limited amount of conversation with the media, almost non-existent. Governor Sisolak has done a little bit. I'm hoping that he will do more. And I don't care whether it's here or anywhere else, but just to sit down with reporters and have an extended conversation about where we're heading, I think is very healthy. Do you see that big difference between the way Governor Gwynn was and the last couple of governors?
I do, and I don't envy more recent administrations with the advent of Twitter, the sort of really instantaneous nature. Obviously, we had email and you had text messaging and things were moving and website-based newspapers and people were uploading things. But not as quickly. The kind of partisanship and I guess gotcha is the right term that's used in some corners of the media just didn't exist at the same level when we were in office and it wasn't that long ago. So I don't envy anybody that has those jobs. That said, I think Kenny Gwynn was able to create a relationship with the media that was unique. he was entirely genuine. He was what you saw and was very open. And because of that, he worked on that relationship, not by design, but because by that's the way he was. Come in sometimes in the morning, and it's like the governor's car was there. Where's the governor? He's downstairs in the press office down in the basement. It was then at the basement of the Capitol talking to Cy Ryan from the Las Vegas Sun and Jeff Dornan from the Nevada Appeal. And I would just sort of shake my head and wonder what was going to come out in the paper. But they also liked and trusted him, which I think made a real difference because they knew he was trying to do the right thing. And again, that has changed to some extent, but I still think it's good for any elected leader, particularly when you're governor, to try to develop that relationship and be as upfront with those folks as you can. They've got a job to do.
And I think that the thing that gets missed, and this, by the way, also applies to the presidential candidates who are coming to Nevada, almost zero of whom have done in-depth interviews mm-hmm. with mainstream press in the state. You build a relationship, and it's much harder to tear someone down when the public already knows who they are.
Exactly. It makes it different when you like the person. I mean, I think the reporters here and the Capitol Press Corps always did a good, thorough, fair job covering that administration. We may not have always liked the headlines that came out, but they did trust, and if it was sort of a jump ball situation, am I going to write something tacky or kind of mean, or here's a person I know, you knew what was in Kenny Guinn's heart. You knew what he was trying to do because he was so honest about it. I think the stories reflected that.
And I like the fact that Mike O'Callaghan would call reporters at 3-4 o'clock in the morning when he woke up and yell at them. I would welcome that. I don't want to mention names, but there were previous governors that would call me privately at 6 o'clock in the evening and say, hey, if you have a minute, I just want you to, this is not for publication, but I just mm-hmm. want you to know the real story behind whatever that issue was. And I think that was very helpful in knowing more about an issue that wasn't necessarily public, but you could keep it in your back pocket for when you ask questions.
And I think that's something about people that were in the career of journalism and invested in this community is the other issue, particularly with, pick on anybody, but with television news, reporters are looking to move to bigger markets and move up that scale. And I think you're less invested in the relationship and what it means to the community sometimes. So again, I think that media world has changed and we're likely to never go back. And I don't envy, as I said, current more recent administrations, but I still think it's important to try to nourish those relationships.
And it's interesting that the online perspective, and like all media, you have to take it into account as to the source, but you go to Facebook, you're going to get a lot of information. You just got to sort out which parts are the more accurate and which ones aren't.
Exactly.
Let's talk about water and land issues for a minute, because this is one of the areas of your expertise. It seems like we're taking a little bit of a turn. You have a relationship with Mayor Bob Kroll, who's a member of your firm, and his name is in the title. And his son Brad is now the head of Conservation and Natural Resources. And in conversations on this program and elsewhere, it seems that we're seeing a change in water direction in the state. Does that seem that way to you?
It does. I think we're seeing a different way of looking at things. You've got new people coming in, and I'm going to go back and say it always causes me a little bit of pause when you say, because you're an expert in this subject, when we're on air.
Well, that means that you know more than me, which is really not difficult.
Very kind of you. There is a different look. I think, to some extent, the Sisolak administration, because he's the first Democratic governor in 20 years, has a feeling that they've got to put some stakes in the ground in different areas and change direction. Sometimes that's because there's sort of an in-depth policy and here's something we feel different about. Occasionally, I think sometimes it's because we need to put a stake in the ground and show that we're a different party. And again, back to that, the grassroots base of the party is more of both parties is more active. You've got to worry more, it's quicker when things go awry. I think they need to show that they're doing certain things because of the base constituency. But I think with water, there's clearly a fair amount of thought into it. Some folks are going to disagree on development. You know, the most recent that decision in North Reno that's now been challenged on whether there's enough water there, how fast basins are recharging. We've known we've had a problem in most of the populated basins in Nevada for a long time, that at least on paper they're over-appropriated. So there are things we need to do about that. The challenge is when you're growing fast and people are looking for homes, it's going to make you a little bit unpopular when you say, let's put the brakes on.
The biggest comment that Mr. Coral made was in reference to the potential pipeline from Eastern Nevada, where he mentioned that if you're going to be spending billions of dollars, then we should look at other alternatives. And that brought a swift response, and not a positive one, from Marilyn Kirkpatrick and others. My thought is this, that because of term limits, none of the people that are in office right now would be around at the 40 or 50 year mark when that pipeline would be needed. So is that expediency to be able to say, we don't want it, we're not interested in it, it's the last thing in the line?
I think that's part of it, and you don't get me started on term limits. I've never been a fan because we've always had them. They're called elections.
I'm with you on that, but Mr. Rogich, thank you.
Right, exactly. But it doesn't help when you're not going to be here in not 40 years, you're not going to be here in 14 years, maybe 12 years from now, to worry about what the long-term ramifications of that. And you're right, it is a lot easier to say no, or I'm strongly in favor of something, or strongly against something, if you're not going to be around when it finally comes to fruition. So I think the SNWA, at least some of their comments over the last year or so, have acknowledged that while there's a very serious problem, the need for water has not gone as quickly as they thought it was going to do between conservation efforts, the slowing economy, other things. I don't know. It'll be very interesting to see whether ultimately they need to build the pipeline or there's going to be other ways to solve that problem.
Interesting to say the least. Let's take a break. More with Mike Hillaby when we come back.
Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot with over 450 of the latest slots and video games. Sully's Sports Bar, the Dining Car Restaurant, William Hill Sportsbook, and the Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge. We're just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia. Yeah.
Because of UMC, I'm putting my free time to good use.
Because of UMC, she keeps me on my toes.
Because of UMC and this guy, I'm here.
UMC, the highest level of care in Nevada.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse is known for signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. Join us Thursdays and Friday nights from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Steakhouse Lounge for live music, gourmet plates, and well-priced wines just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Mike Hillaby, who is Director of Government Relations for Kempfer Kroll. We're seeing astonishing growth in the north and the south. And in Southern Nevada, I interviewed Tick Segelblum a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about Ivanpah. Marilyn mm-hmm. Kirkpatrick says that Ivanpah is likely to come online before she's done as a county commissioner, which would mean within 10 years, which seems to be a much faster pace for that project. It would mean huge growth in Southern Nevada, a whole community growing up around there. I think it's mm-hmm. starting out at 18,000 acres, and they're looking for more from the federal government. Tick Segelblum says, like Dina Titus did back in the day, you know, a ring around the valley. You know, mm-hmm. we need, you know, vertical growth, not horizontal growth. What's your thoughts on where Las Vegas is going?
So I think they're facing the sort of same conundrum that Reno and others, if you talk to planners, people worried about the environment, worried about traffic, a longer-term view. They're saying you've got to build up, you need more density because it provides a whole variety of benefits, some challenges that go along with that. And then you face the average home buyer who's, maybe they're newly married and they're thinking about having children, and they want a house with a yard. They want something that looks like the suburbs they've had. Not unlike what we're going to face with greenhouse gas reductions. If you talk to the scientists, you talk to experts, hey, there are things we need to start doing. But the average person saying, or not average, but maybe typical person saying, but I want an SUV. I have a couple of kids. We like to go skiing. We want to do, I like that ability. That's a real challenge, and another thing where current elected officials have some tough decisions to make. What's my commitment to the environment? What's the long-term ramifications of some of this? Do I sort of force the market to do something it wouldn't otherwise want to do because it's the right thing to do, because it's something we need to do? That'll be fascinating down there. There'll clearly be a lot of environmental community and others. You've got a heavily Democratic county commission, Democratic state government push for that. For all of the reasons that they'll espouse, and it'll go to find the face of, again, what a lot of the market wants, what some of the builders want to deliver. That'll be fun to watch.
Also, the construction trades. Right. I mean, they are looking back on a period where there was 100,000 people in the construction trade unemployed, and that was beyond the people who had left the state. And they don't want to see things slow down in that way.
No, I think it's interesting. Right now, one of the interim studies that the legislature is conducting through the Interim Committee on Energy involves how do we deal with the road taxes, fuel taxes going into the highway fund long term, with vehicles, one, getting better mileage, and two, more electric vehicles. And in the last few meetings, there's been a heavy union presence at those, because clearly they want to see the highway fund stay at the level it is, because that's used to create prevailing wage, heavily union jobs to do road construction.
All right, so is the push toward VMT, this vehicle miles traveled?
So the most recent has been a talk about how do you equate a fee on electric vehicles that would not miles traveled exactly, but an equation that would roughly say what would the same car with an internal combustion engine, what would its mileage rating be? Pick of the car people know the most, an all-electric Prius versus an internal combustion engine Prius. What's the EPA mileage? Let's figure that out. How many miles did you drive? What's the equivalent in the gas tax that the internal combustion engine owner would have paid? That would be something like the registration fee for the electric vehicle. That will cause heartburn among some of the electric vehicle owners that say, hey, I'm providing other benefits. I'm not polluting. You ought to recognize that. But the fundamental question, how do we build roads, when we've always kept that separate constitutionally, the highway fund and the fuel tax revenue that goes into it versus the general fund?
All right, let's take another break. We'll be back with Mike Hillaby after this timeout.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
One of the most psychologically damaging things parents can do to children in divorce is disparage one another, which is why I can't believe I even have to make this commercial. Half of your kids' genetics come from this person you're spewing hate about. Your children have the right to love you both, but more than that, they deserve to love themselves.
Marilyn York might be a men's rights divorce attorney, but this is for every selfish parent. Shut up.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. And a lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Michael Hillaby, he's Director of Government Relations for Kempfer Kroll. Topic that needs to be addressed, but will it be in the next session, property taxes?
That's a really good question. We sort of all thought that was going to come up this last session, and it did briefly and not very pleasantly the last couple of days of the session, a little fizzle that tried at the very end with the city of Reno. We clearly need to deal with it. It's kind of like the third rail. It's the local version of Social Security, but we've got to deal with it. The depreciation, and particularly in some communities with older homes, what happens? Can you reset that when you resell it? Theoretically, you could do that, and ultimately everybody's rates would come. Some people would go up, some people at the upper end would go down, and that over time would balance out. But well, the first time somebody gets a bill that's gone up and is substantially different than what they thought, they're not going to be very happy, and that's a hard one. But we've got to deal with it. Local governments rely on the state government, too, to some extent, but particularly local governments rely on that so heavily for local revenue.
One of the things that's a problem is the split, which is the 3% for personal property and the 8% for business. Do you see that being resolved as part of this, or is it more the reset in resale?
Well, being a policy fan, I'd like to see all of that addressed because we have the problem.
Including the constitutionality?
Yeah, might leave that
one
alone.
Oh, sorry.
But yeah, the 3 versus 8% cap on growth for residential versus commercial property that you talked about, start to deal with all of that. And if you're going to do it, you're going to go through all the pain and heartache. You're going to have people angry at you. Just do it. Do it quickly. Fix it all. Get it over with. We, you know, Carol Velardo.
Is that realistic, though?
No, it's not realistic.
Okay.
But if you're gonna take that bite, do it. Get it done at one time. Rip the Band-Aid off. As Carol Velardo, from the former director of the taxpayers, a longtime director of the Taxpayers Association, said, we have the most complicated property tax system in the country. It's crazy how complicated it is. It shouldn't be. That's where you've got the lawsuit between, you know, the Incline Village homeowners in Washoe County that's still whining on, and potential that award getting potentially bigger as interest compounds. So we've got to deal with it.
Another interesting challenge that is still going on through the courts, the Nevada Independent was reporting on this the other day, which is the battle between the courts and the LCB and the Republicans. Where do you think this is going to end up?
I thought Kevin Powers, LCB counsel's brief was interesting last week, essentially saying the conclusion, judge, the ultimate conclusion of your ruling is we wouldn't be able to do things for our bosses, including even drafting bills. That was probably fairly extreme, but he's making a point, defending his client. I think at some point the court's got to step in and say, no, everything beyond point X is fine. You can continue to do those roles. But this is a challenge, that the Senate Republicans made the choice to sue themselves rather than have a taxpayer sue and get that involved, that the Senate Democrats made the decisions they did in the heat of the session at the end.
Allowing tax increases to go according to the Republicans without a two-thirds majority.
Right. So a potential sunset or a lowering of the tax went away, and the tax reverted back to a higher level, a particular tax that businesses pay. And did that require a two-thirds vote or not? Again, that really important decision about the constitutional nature, thinking about what that meant for legislative representation, is never going to happen the last 3 or 4 days of a legislative session. I don't care how smart the legislators are and how dedicated, they're never going to have time, brain power left to think about that in the heat of the moment. And clearly that's what we're dealing with now.
And the last session was so crazy. The changes in leadership at the very beginning of the session, it was amazing they got out on time.
It is. I think we've seen, you know, the unsung heroes are all the people behind the scenes at the Legislative Council Bureau, particularly the Legal Division, Research Division, trying to get their bosses ready, get bills drafted. Again, thank you, term limits, as people come in with more and more ideas that aren't fully formed and go to the Council Bureau and say, this is the bill I want because I want to fill out, I've got this allotment of bills, I want to run all of them. We saw bills coming out later and later, the need to waive deadlines for introduction of bills. That was a disaster in the making, which we somewhat saw toward the end. To their credit and to the governor's, they got done. There was no need for a special session, but it wasn't very pretty.
If you had to give one or two sentences of advice to a brand new legislator, what would that be?
Listen a lot. Take some time to learn. Again, I'll get on term limits. You've created a situation where legislators sort of forced into the equivalent of a freshman, sophomore, junior, senior class and feel like they've got to make moves into leadership in a certain period of time. You used to have the luxury of saying, I'm going to listen, I'm going to learn, I'm going to figure out how to do things for my constituents. I've got time to decide if I'm going to become a committee chair. Be patient, listen, learn the process, look around and see who's getting things done. Look and see who's getting things done quietly. There's a lot to be learned there.
It was interesting to me in the last session, which I have to say personally I thought was an improvement over the previous session, but how much some of the newer legislators didn't know about their own districts, let alone the state.
That's a real challenge. And you've got people that are younger and younger, which is great in many respects, getting into office, but don't have the depth, haven't driven across all of the vast mileage on Nevada's road system and seen what else goes on. I can remember Joe Deeney years ago, when he toward the end of his career, Assemblyman, former speaker, said, you know, in my district, I've got ranching and farming, mining, I've got poor people, I got rich people, I've got gamers, I've got to worry about all of that. And as population concentrates, these aren't his exact words, population centers concentrate, particularly in Clark County, and those districts get smaller and smaller, they get less varied with things like that, unless you need to worry about to get elected. And you start to see that a little bit.
I have said for a long time on this program that Reno-Sparks area needs to market itself to Las Vegas so people know who we are, because right now, people in Northern Nevada may not like Las Vegas. People in Las Vegas have no idea where Reno is.
Something to be said for that.
And we'll be right back.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Penny, Dad? Why are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this. Wow, this stuff is great. People are gonna love it.
Yes. Yes, they were.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
You can now watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and search for Nevada Newsmakers and become a subscriber. We'll see you on the next broadcast.